Okay. 1 John chapter 5. We'll be on 10 to 12 tonight. Let's start reading from verse 1. 1 John chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness, Spirit, water, and the blood. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Okay, if we remember last week, we talked about the witness, the testimony. You remember? Okay? Remember, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, right? Remember us talking about that? Because men, us, you know, men in general, not men specifically, but humankind, our witness, we're folly, we're sinful. And so our witness is not able to stand full. And in our earth, in our mankind, if you will, we have a system of relying on witness, whether it's in court, relying what someone puts in the newspaper, what they write in a book. Sometimes we trust, we rely on someone's witness. And we know that we receive the witness of men, that the witness of God is greater, because God cannot lie. God is God. His witness is always going to be much more than the witness of men. Okay? And we ended with the first part of verse 10 last week, which said, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. Okay? We believe in the name of God. We have this witness in us. Okay? So the second part of verse 10. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. Again, he who does not believe God made him a liar. Now, here we see the extreme blasphemy in its fullest, I think, in that we do not believe God's testimony or his witness of Jesus. It's almost a slap in the face to say that I do not believe God. I do not believe God's testimony of his Son, of Jesus. Blasphemy to its fullest. Because we know that God's witness is pure, true, holy as compared to man's witness. So when we do not believe the witness of God, I think that's heresy. It's blasphemy. Okay? And we then accuse God of being a liar. Now, I don't know how many of us like to consider God a liar, but this is exactly what happens here. When we do not believe the witness, the testimony of God concerning Jesus, we make God a liar. Now, who wants to be in those shoes? Hopefully none of us. In the shoes of the one calling God a liar, okay? Remember, indeed, that the witness of God is greater than man, always has been, always will be. Do not ever forget that. Do not rely on someone's witness more than God's witness. Remember, we talked about how we need to always, always, always compare what someone says to the Word of God. if you're visiting a church, if you're watching it on TV, if you're listening to a sermon online, you always compare it with the Word of God. Always, even here. You go home, you study, you make sure you find out. Do not always rely or depend on the witness of men. And if you remember, what was the witness of men saying here? Well, that Jesus did not really come in the flesh. Blasphemy, right? He did come in the flesh. He did come as a man. He did die on the cross for your sins. And so if these people were to rely on this witness, then they would have been following this heresy. Deceived. And so it's important that we don't just rely on the witness of men, because we don't want to get deceived. So then, they make God a liar by not believing in His witness or His testimony. This has the idea of those who profess salvation but live and think contrary to Christian truth. By not believing on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which exactly what the verse is saying, then we make God a liar. Okay? These are people who claim, yeah, I'm a church-going person, I'm a Christian. Oh, but by the way, I don't believe in God's testimony concerning His Son. I don't believe that God truly came in the flesh. I don't believe in the deity of Christ, okay? That's what he's saying here, okay? And obviously we know that these people who deny the witness of God, deny this concerning His Son, is not truly a Christian. Because we learned back in earlier, those who deny the Son deny also the Father. Right? Remember that? So we make God a liar here if we do not believe His witness, His testimony. So why does one make God a liar? Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. But we know God's witness to be true. Why? Why can we believe God's witness to be true? Anyone? We know why we can't depend on man's witness, but how do we know for sure that we can rely on God's witness or His testimony?
Because it says, I think it's in Psalm 2, that He doesn't lie, He cannot lie.
Okay, close. Numbers, it might say it in Psalms 2. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie. Titus 1:2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And I really like that one in Numbers, especially here comparing the witnesses between men and between God. God is not a man. Do we understand that? God is not like us, sinful. He is not a man that He should lie. And so He does not lie concerning His Son. Understand? We see then that no matter how religious one might be, or how good of a person he might be, if one rejects the Son of God, if he does not believe in the name of Jesus, then he is condemned already. Do we understand that? If we do not believe on the Son of Jesus Christ and His merit, then we are condemned already. Okay, so now what if we, I believe that. But then I go out there and my lifestyle says otherwise. That's the same thing of how John reminds us, one who claims to know God, claims to be a Christian. Yeah, I go to church, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus. But then you walk in darkness. The Bible says the truth is not in you. And you do not know God. You are not a Christian. So the same thing here. It's more than just believing in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, but living it. Right? Even the demons believe. What do? They tremble. Believe in the name of the Son. Believe in Jesus Christ and His merit, His good work on the cross, on what He did for us. God's testimony of Him is true. Do we believe that? Do we believe in God's testimony concerning Jesus? That He is the Son of God. That He's God incarnate. that he did come born as a babe and grew and lived a sinless life and then suffered and died on the cross for you. Do we believe that witness? Do we believe that testimony? Our answer should be 100% yes. Because on that, our life depends. So how do we live our life? Does our life reflect that we believe God's witness concerning Christ? Again, God is not a man that he should lie. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Listen to that. He who believes in Christ is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that is why he is condemned already. Guess what? It's that simple. If we do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son, we're condemned already. So believe this day if you do not. Believe in Jesus and share this with your loved ones. Believe on the name of the Son and then live as if you do believe it. Because it's more than just claiming, yes, I believe that. It's living it. That shows who the true children of God are. Remember earlier in John, it's manifest. It's made clear who the child of God are and who the child of the devil is. It's obvious, is how the NAS refers it. Verse 11. And this is the testimony. So what is the testimony? This is the testimony. That God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Calvin writes, the apostle includes three things. That we are all given up to death until God in His gratuitous favor restores us to life, in which we all would agree. We're all born sinners. We're all given over to death. Death is what we deserve. All of us in here deserve the wrath of God upon our shoulders. Okay? But until God has given us His gratuitous favor and restores us to life. For he plainly declares that life is a gift from God. Not just physical life, but spiritual life. When we are saved, it is a gift from God. And hence, also it allows that we are destitute of it, and that it cannot be acquired by merits. Secondly, he teaches us that this life is conferred on us by the gospel. Because there the goodness and the paternal love of God is made known to us. Okay? And his name was called the Word. And the Word became flesh. Okay? Lastly, he says that we cannot otherwise become partakers of this life than by believing in Christ. And that's the key here. Okay? There is no life outside of Christ. We cannot earn eternal life. There is nothing we can ever do to earn eternal life, to earn salvation. It's a gift, and you cannot work for it. You understand? The word testimony or record here, as what the King James says, here refers to a declaration by a witness who speaks with the authority of one who knows. And let's face it, God knows. God knows. Okay? Now, the know here is not just a simple everyday word which we use, but it has meaning here. He knows beyond of a shadow of a doubt because He has planned it and ordained it. That's how God knows. And that's how He can give a true witness, a testimony. Okay? John refers to the record of witness as being the fact that God in His Son has given eternal life to believers. And once again, who are the believers? The ones who believe on the name of the Son of God. Who believe in Jesus Christ and His merit. and strive with all their being to be just like Him. Those ones, those true children of God, will have eternal life. So where do we stand? Where do we stand today? 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Do we want eternal life? I mean, all throughout mankind, you hear people talking about eternal life and how do I achieve it? And so we know here the only way to achieve it is to believe in Jesus and to obey Him, to live a life that is glorifying to God. 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In no other way can we live. Without Jesus' work on the cross, we are without life and without hope. But in Him, and Him alone, do we live. So do we follow Him? If the Word clearly tells us that in Christ we live, why would we not follow Him? Why would we not sacrifice everything to live for Christ? Why would we not believe on His name and trust in His merit, knowing that He is the one in whom we have life? But yet so many so-called believers do that very thing. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. And they go out and they walk in darkness. In other words, their lifestyle is that of sin and evil, which reveals that they're not a true Christian. And thus, they're just so-called believers. Christ holds the key to life. In Him we should follow. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus makes it very clear. I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. You can't get to the Father except through me. Let that sink in. There is no other way. There is no other person that through we can achieve this through. Jesus is the only way. Verse 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's not any clearer than this. He who has the Son has life. And this means to have and to hold, implying continued possession. Those who have Christ, those who are true children, have Christ. They're holding on to Christ, and they will always hold on and cling to Christ. They will remain, just like how, you know, God dwells in us. He remains and will never leave us. That is the idea here. He who has the Son has life, because we have Him and we're never letting go. With all of our might, we're following after Christ. We're reading the Word of God, meditating on His Word, and doing everything to imitate Christ. Thus showing that we love God and that we are His children. And we have life. And listen, we get the honor and privilege of spending all eternity worshiping God. And that's why I read those Psalms today. Praise the Lord in everything you do, with a music instrument, with your voice, with your life. Praise the Lord. But live it in your life. Praise the Lord. Because if you're a true child of God, you're going to have all eternity to praise the Lord. And that, guess what? That is a gift. It is an honor and privilege. Amen. To have God and Christ, to hold fast to them, to acknowledge with love and devotion to them. Life fears. He who has a son has life. In the Christian sense means eternal life, obviously, which refers back to the last verse. That life of bliss and glory in the kingdom of God, which awaits the true disciples of Christ. So where are you today? Are you a true disciple of Christ? If so, you have life, eternal life awaiting you. What a glorious thing. What man is searching for eternal life, we have in Christ. And this life awaits us, his true disciples. Literally means they shall reign in life. On the flip side, then, the one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So if I do not have life, what do I have? Eternal death, eternal torment and destruction, where the fire is never quenched, where you are forever thirsty, where the worm never dies, a place of utter torment, outer darkness. That's what awaits who does not have the Son, who does not believe in his name and live as though he believes it. Is that what we want? Do we want to be in a place where the torment never ends? It's not like you get used to it. Well, you know, I've been in hell for 10 years now and it's not so hot anymore. It's never ending. Utter torment. All of us have been camping at one time or another, right? Oh, okay. Well, all of us have been in front of a fireplace at one time, right? We get the idea. Okay. The point is, we've been next to a fire. And you know what happens when you're standing next to a fire? You get hot. You have to back up a little bit. And I remember working at a church camp, and part of my job was to burn the trash. Okay. Proud of that. Was actually the funnest part of my job, burning the trash. But I remember there thinking one time, and as I was burning the trash, and I was just kind of kneeling back watching, because there's something with boys and fire. But something struck me. I remember just feeling the heat, just the extreme heat of this fire, and thinking that if I don't have the Son, if I don't believe in his name and live a life to please him, then I'm no better than the trash in that fire. Being consumed continuously by this fire, by the destruction, where we will be weeping, gnashing of teeth. This is a very real place. And that is the flip side of having life, of reigning in life. And no one in their right mind wants to be at this place. So today is the day of salvation. Believe on his name this day. And when we leave those doors, be a new person. Devote, dedicate, live for Christ. Imitate Him in everything. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love the brethren. Sacrifice to live for Him. Take up your cross and follow Christ. And have life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Go home and ponder these things and ask yourself, where do I stand this night? Where do I stand? Am I a true follower? Am I a true Christian or just a so-called believer? What do my friends at school know me as? Do they know that guy or girl as, oh man, you know, that person is different. You never hear any bad language from him. Never comes to the parties. Never does this or that. There's something different. He must be what he says he is, a Christian. Or do people say, man, I thought that person said they were a Christian. Do you see what they're doing? Continuously? Where do we stand? And what side are you going to be on? Are you going to have life? Are you going to have life? Or are you going to have destruction? You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. The Bible makes that crystal clear. There's no in between. It's very clear. Child of God, life. Child of Satan, destruction and death and misery. Let's pray. Father, our merciful God, our gracious Savior, the one whom gives us every opportunity, for you are being patient with sinful man every day that you allow us to live. Let this be the day of salvation for those who do not believe. And let them have life. But when they believe, if they believe, let it be much more than just belief. For we know that even the demons believe and they tremble. But let us live a life that shows that we believe in the Son of God and that He dwells in us. The witness abides in us. And in Him we have life. Life for all eternity. And I don't care what consequences await me in this life. I don't care if I'm made fun of. I don't care if I'm persecuted to the point of death. I will live for Christ. In Him I stand. And in Him I will die for. Let me not be ashamed of the one, the only one who can give me life. Let us believe on His name. In the only name that has merit to pray to the Father. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Listen. Consider what we have just read. Please don't walk through those doors and forget. What does the Bible say about that guy who walks and then forgets what he has just heard?